Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's great to see you all here putting God first this weekend in your life on this Sunday. And if you're new here, we're one church that meets in multiple rooms on the windward side of the island and always love to pause before the message, say hi to everybody on the other side of the camera. So to all of the ladies in the correctional center locations, Hinamauka, the Plaza, and Pearl, everybody here at our Kaneohe location and all of our theaters and everybody at Kailua High School, we're really glad that you're with us today. And so church family here at Kaneohe, let's just say hi to everybody online on the other side of the camera there. Thank you guys for being with us today. It really means a lot to us. And so if you're new here, we've been in a series called Calm, and we've been learning how to experience God's peace in our lives. And the truth is like sometimes we don't realize that we're carrying stress. One of my friends is a guy named Pastor Randy Remington. He was speaking at a conference, and he was talking about how he was working on a research project. And so he went to meet with a researcher librarian. Excuse me. And so he goes to meet with this researcher. And the guy was an older gentleman. He was a Vietnam vet. And next to this researcher was this golden retriever dog, this beautiful dog with a service vest on the dog. And so as Randy's getting to know him a little while into the conversation, Randy graciously says to him, "Hey, tell me about your service dog. Like, what does your dog do? How does your dog help you?" And the researcher said, "Well, I'm a Vietnam vet, and I struggle with post-traumatic stress. And this dog helps me with my anxiety, because when my anxiety starts to kick in, I can go from 0 to 60 in my anxiety pretty fast. And if my anxiety levels get too high, I can actually black out. And so what this service dog does is when I start to get anxious, the dog actually can sense that anxiety in me, and he'll sit up, and the dog will look me in the eyes to try to get my focus off of my worries and bring my attention to the fact that I'm starting to get stressed." And then the researcher said, "And then if I'm really starting to get anxious, the dog will actually climb up, you know, big golden retriever will actually climb up and sit in my lap and just stare me in the eyes to try to change my focus." And Randy's like, "Wow, that is awesome. What a great dog to have." And so they continue talking about their project. And Randy said about 5 minutes later, this golden retriever comes up to Randy and starts looking at him. And no joke, I'm not making this up, Randy said 2 minutes later, that dog climbed up into my lap and just looked at me. The researcher looked at Randy and says, "Are you doing okay?" And Randy said, "Apparently not." And Randy said, "You know, I've never really considered myself to be an anxious person." He said, "But that dog brought to my awareness the fact that I carry a lot of stress in life that I'm not even aware of because it's such a normal part of my life." And so I just wonder, to all of you at our different locations, I just wonder, what if that golden retriever service dog was living in your house for the last 30 days? Would that dog ever sense some anxiety in you, maybe that you're not aware of? Would that dog ever climb up in your lap and just go, "Hello, you're kind of stressed right now"? Man, if that dog lived at my house in the last 30 days, there would have been times that dog would be climbing right up going, "Hey, you're kind of worried right now." And the reality is that we're just not always aware that we're carrying stress. Why? Because it's such a normal part of our lives. We live in a pretty stressful day and age. In fact, I did some research this week, and I want to share with you some statistics, and because it just points to the reality that Americans are stressing out. And as I go over these statistics, these could be you. Like, you might, if we're just honest, say, "You know, I'm part of those statistics too." Or maybe these statistics represent some people you know, your family, your friends, your coworkers. So let me go over some of these statistics. In my research, I found out that one psychologist wrote this book, and he said, The American teenager today, let me say this exactly how he said it so I get it right. He said, the American teenager today exhibits the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. And stop and think about that. Back in the 1950s, psychiatric patients, they're going, man, they're full of anxiety. And this psychologist has studied teenagers and said, that's today's youth. Now, what do you think is the number one driver of anxiety in our teenagers today? What do you think is causing them to experience so much more anxiety than what many of us experienced? It's social media. The number one driver is social media. And you go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. How could looking at Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, why would that be producing anxiety in today's teens? Here's why. It's because the number one driver of unhappiness, which can lead to stress, here it is, it's chronic comparison. And so watch this. When people are looking at Instagram feeds, they're looking at people's lives. So they look at their friends or these celebrities, and everybody on social media posts their best pictures, right? Like, do you ever post junk pictures of yourself? No, right? You know, if your eyes are closed, you're not going to post that, right? You're going to take the one that's been photoshopped and you're all. And so everybody posts their highlight reel of their life. And what's happening is people are going through Instagram and they're saying, wow, that person's so beautiful. Wow, look at the clothes they have that I can't afford. Wow, look at the expensive vacation they got to go on, and we haven't gone on a vacation in years. Wow, look at that huge, giant locomoco those guys we need. I never can get one of those. And it's this comparison going, wow, their life is so much better, because when I look at their life compared to mine, my life sucks. And that causes anxiety. Harvard Business Journal said the number one driver of unhappiness in your life and my life, here it is, chronic comparison. The Bible calls it envy, where we want what other people want and we don't have it. So now we are unhappy and now we have higher levels of anxiety rising. Does that make sense? Now, here's the thing. The social media doesn't only increase anxiety in teenagers. They're showing that it does it for adults as well. And here's what one of my friends said. He said, get off of social media for 1 week and tell me if you have less anxiety. Just try it. Get off social media for an entire week and tell me if you feel less anxious. Stop watching the news. Stop the bad input, so to speak, and see if you have less stress. We did a church-wide fast a few weeks ago, and I was off all social media, all bad news, you know. I just fasted it all. Let me tell you, I had less stress during that time. So the statistics also show this. Look at this up online, up on the screen. The Harvard Business Review said that 60 to 90% of doctor's visits are related to stress issues. Isn't that crazy? 60 to 90% are related to stress. The United States Center for Disease Control said that about half the deaths that take place before the age of 65 are related to stressful lifestyles. There's so many other statistics, I won't bore you with all of them, but here's what the statistics show. That although stress is normal for our society, in the United States, the statistics have concluded and shown us that the United States is the undisputed champion of anxiety and stress in the world. Isn't that crazy? And think about it. Like, we have, like, the best lifestyles we've ever had. You know, we've conquered major childhood diseases. We're making more money. We have a higher standard of living than most people around the world, and yet we are the unhappiest and some of the most stressed out people in the world. And I highlight that because of this, is we're just kind of used to it. Stress is just part of our life here, and God wants to teach us how to have His peace in the midst of the storms. And so we've been in a series called Calm, How to Find Inner Peace in Life's Chaos. And what we've been learning, if you haven't been here or if you're new here, is we've been learning, how do I experience God's peace in the midst of the storms? And I want to just say this real clear up front, that I'm not saying that we should avoid dealing with some of the physiological causes of stress and anxiety, because here it is. For some of us, we have stress because we have physiological issues that are happening from time to time or regularly. Some people have genetic disorders called generalized anxiety disorders, and they just have more stress than others because their brain doesn't process stress like a normal brain. Some people have chemical deficiencies that cause them to feel more stress. Some people have mental illness issues that cause them to feel more stress. Some people have imbalanced hormones, and that can cause stress. And here's my point, is that we're not talking about the stress that comes from that. Those are all things that can be explored and dealt with through medical attention, and we're not against that at all. But what I want to talk about today is this. For the everyday anxiety that you and I experience, how do we have more peace in the midst of that? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. It's a very popular passage on God's peace, because God promises you His peace even in the midst of your stress. In fact, take a look at this verse here up on the screen, Philippians 4:7. It says, then you'll experience, say it with me, God's peace, His calm, His shalom is the word, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, interesting thing came up when I was preparing for this message. Amazon Kindle, Kindle's the reading app that you can have on your devices, and Amazon Kindle has studied what are the most highlighted passages in all of their online literature. And Kindle discovered that this verse here is the number one underlined verse or highlighted verse in all 3,100 plus scriptures in the Bible. Now stop and think about that. Why would tons and tons of people highlight this verse? It's the most highlighted passage of scripture in all of the Bible. Why? Why are people highlighting it? Two reasons. People are stressing, and they're looking for calm. They're looking for peace. And so they read this and go, I want God's peace. I want this peace that exceeds my understanding that I can have in the midst of the storms. That's why people are highlighting it. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about this peace. Now, I came across a picture that I thought kind of sets a foundation for this peace theologically. And take a look at this. Maybe you've seen this painting. This is called Peace in the Midst of the Storm. It's got a guy named Jack Dawson. And this is an award-winning portrait. And I'm showing it to you because I want you to see the kind of peace that God is offering to you. Then I'll explain how you can experience that. So this painting has some hidden pictures in it. If you look here, what you can't see until I zoom in is that there's actually a bird in the cleft of these rocks as there's this gnarly storm that's happening, dark clouds, torrential rains pouring down here, and this bird is resting at peace in the midst of this very chaotic world that it's in. And the guy who painted this, he said, I wanted people to see that this is the kind of peace that God offers us. It's peace in the midst of stressful circumstances. You say, well, why does this bird have peace in the midst of this crazy storm here? It's because of Jesus. You see here, this is the other hidden feature of the painting, is there's a profile of Jesus. And the author of this painting is just saying that Jesus is the rock, and when we take refuge in the rock, in Jesus, we can experience His peace. You see the cross here that's etched in the rock. And I just thought, this is a great picture of the kind of peace that God wants to offer you. That in your crazy stress that comes at times through work problems, God says, you can have my shalom, my peace in the midst of that storm. If you're going through a health storm, relational storm, financial storm, God says, you can have my peace that it exceeds understanding. Like, you shouldn't have it because it comes from me, God says. In fact, look at this other verse in the passage. 4:9 says this, then the God of peace will be with you so you can be calm in the midst of the storm. It's a great visual reminder for us. And so you say, well, Dave, okay, how do I experience that calm? Like, I want to have more calm or inner peace in life stresses. How do I tap into this God of peace? Well, we're going to talk about the commands that are surrounding these scriptures that teach us what are the actions that we need to take? What do we need to do in order to experience this shalom? So if you're taking notes, let's look at what the verse first tells us to do, and then I'll tell you the action step. So here's what the Bible says, verse 6. God says the next time you start worrying, here's what God says to you. Say it with me. Don't worry about anything. You're like, oh, that's kind of hard to do. You worried about your teenager? God says, hey, stop worrying about that. I know you're worrying about it. It's okay, you can stop. And what God is saying is this. He's saying, hey, the next time you start worrying, it's kind of like the red light on the dashboard in your car. It's a signal to you that you need to stop worrying. And instead of worrying, you need to do what the next part of the verse says, which is this. Instead of worrying, pray about what? Whatever's stressing you out. And you just tell God what you need. And so I like to say it this way. This is the first step on the pathway to peace. Everybody say it with me. We need to be praying. We need to turn our worries into prayers. So again, this week, if you start getting a little edgy, a little worried, a little frustrated, a little stressed, you just go, whoop, red light on the dashboard. Okay, wait, I need to pray. And you just start praying. You can pray in your mind. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud. You don't have to close your eyes. You just start turning your worries into prayers. And here's why it helps. You're now talking to the one who can help you with your worries. You're now talking to the Prince of Peace. And he wants to share his peace with you. Now, here's why God wants you to pray. It's because prayer relieves anxiety. It's the first step. It's not the only step, but it's an important step. God designed you and I to decompress our stress by talking to him first. And you know, what happens is a lot of us will pray. Okay, God, I'm worried about work. And we'll pray for 1 minute and go, I'm still stressed. Well, that doesn't work. But what God's saying, no, I want you to process this with me. Like, talk to me. Well, what is it about work you're worried about? What is it you want me to do? And you start talking to him about it. Let me give you an example of this. So when I first became a pastor, I was 31 years old here at this church. And I was full of stress, you guys. I didn't want to be a pastor. I was afraid of being on stage. I didn't feel adequate enough, spiritual enough, smart enough, and I still feel that way very often. But I had high levels of stress back then. And I had even more stress when people start coming to me, sharing with me their lives. See, when you're a pastor, a lot of people just start pouring their life out to you. So they'll be all, hey, pastor, you got a minute? Yeah, sure. And they just start pouring their life out to you. I mean, it's a real privilege. But I remember when I first started becoming a pastor, like people come up to me and they start sharing with me their life and just pouring it out. And they're telling me about gnarly problems. I'm like, oh, that's bad. And like, whoa. And I'm thinking, I have no clue what to tell them. Like, I've got no profound advice, and I'm just getting all stressed. I mean, what do you say when somebody's, like, telling you a gnarly problem? Where you just like, oh, man, it sucks to be you. I mean, really? Like, what do you do? So I'd just be quiet. I was just like, oh, Jesus, help. I don't know what to say. And I would just sit there and listen. And then at the end, while they're talking, I've given them no advice. They go, oh, Pastor Dave, oh, that was so helpful. Thank you so much. Like, I said nothing profound. All I did was listen. And here's what I learned. When people are stressed, they need to process with somebody who will listen to them. Many people, when they're stressed, they don't need profound advice. They need somebody who profoundly listens to them. That's a little side note that we might want to remember with our spouses or a stressed out coworker or a kid or whoever, is sometimes we just need to listen without fixing. But here's why I tell you that story. Is you want to know who is the best listener in your life? Jesus. The Bible calls him a wonderful counselor. You know why? He's a profound listener. And when you're stressed out, he's like, hey, don't worry. Just talk to me about what you're worried about. And he just listens. And he'll say some things to you if you're open to it. But he's a profound listener. And if you want to decompress your stress, you turn your worries into prayers, and you watch how that'll start to help you experience some of God's peace. Now, I wish the pathway of peace was just praying. Sometimes it is just praying. But let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed about something and then you felt none of God's peace? Anybody? Like, no shame. No shame. Have you ever prayed about something and you were still stressed out after you prayed? Right? Me too. Let me tell you why. Because there's more than praying that we need to do in this passage of Scripture, okay? Let's see what we got to do next. So he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And here it is. Here's the next step to God's peace. And say it with me. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. So we need to be doing these two things. We need to be praying and we need to be thanking. Now, let me be real clear. God doesn't want you to thank him for your problem. God, thank you for this jerk at work. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to thank me in that problem at work. God doesn't want you to thank him for cancer. He wants you to thank him in the cancer. Now, stop and think about it. Let's see, wait a minute. Why does God want me to thank him when I'm worried? Here's why. This is so important. If you catch the reason why, you'll start doing it more. He wants you to thank him because it shifts your focus from your worries to some good things that are happening in your life. Did you know gratitude is a great stress reliever? Gratitude actually lowers your stress. And so God says, I want you to not only be praying and telling me what you need and processing those stressful emotions, I also want you to be thanking me in the midst of it. Now, here's the challenge. Thanking God when you're worried is unnatural. If you're worried about work, you're like, I got nothing to thank you for at this job. I got nothing. I mean, if you're dealing with cancer, kind of going, I can't think of a lot of things to thank you for, God. So here's what God wants you to do. Watch this. This is huge. You thank him for anything. Thank him that you can see with your eyes. I know people that are blind that would do anything to see. You can thank God that you have health care. You can thank God that you have a job. You can thank God that you can walk. You can thank God that you have some friends. You can thank God you have a roof over your head. You can thank God that you have transportation. You can thank God for how he's worked in your life in the past. You can thank God for his promises. God, thank you that you're going to be with me in this major challenge. You'll never leave me or forsake me. God, thank you that you want to give me your peace in this. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, thank you for forgiving me. God, thank you. And you watch, when you start thanking him, all of a sudden peace starts to rise up in you. It's huge. The reason many people don't experience peace is they pray and tell God what they need, but they don't get to this next step of thanking God. Does that make sense? So let me ask you this. All of our locations, everybody at Kailua Prison, Kaneohe, Kailua, everybody, what have you been worried about lately? So start thinking about it. Like, what's been stressing you out a little bit or a lot? Is it work, finances, health, relationship, family? What have you been worrying about a little bit? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to thank God for three things about that situation. Think of three things. I encourage you to do more than three. But I want you to see this. Once you start thanking God, in the midst of it, oh man, it's a huge stress reliever, and it accesses God's peace. Because when you do this, then the God of peace will be with you. Does that make sense? Okay, now there's still a few more steps in this passage to fully experience God's peace. So let's continue on in the passage. Now this is the next verse. Paul says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. So don't just be praying and thanking. You also need to be doing a few more things. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are what? Excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, hey, you got to stop focusing just on all of the problems and start focusing on some of the things that are right in your life. Some things you can praise me for. Again, it's thanking him. And so when you do this, it stops the mind that's stewing without doing. It stops the worrying, the ruminating, as psychologists call it. And it helps you to shift your focus onto some things that are going right in your life. And here's what I found in my life. In my big problems in my life, there's a lot of good things that are right. I just got to open my eyes to them and thank God for them and fix my thoughts on what's right, not what's wrong. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's the third step if you want to fully experience God's peace, okay? And here it is. You need to do what it says in the next verse. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then say it with me, then the God of peace will be with you. So there's another step. You go, wait, what's this step? You got to put into practice all that you've learned. Here's what Paul was saying in essence, the principle. Everything that God says in here, put it into practice. What does God say about dealing with relationships? You're stressed in a relationship? Start doing what he says here. Then the God of peace will be with you. You worried about your finances? What does God say about saving and budgeting and being content with what you have? You start putting that into practice. You start doing what he says. Then the God of peace will be with you. So you got to be praying, thinking, and doing what he says to do. Now, let me just add to it. God will sometimes tell you to do things that are outside of this book, not contrary to the book, but outside of it. Sometimes God will say, you know your relationship, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be going to Christian counseling. Oh, yeah, okay. You know what you need to do with your son? You need to go tell him you're sorry. And tell him you're sorry that you haven't been around as much as you'd like to have been. You need to tell him you need to apologize for those harsh words that you spoke to them. I'll give you an example of my life. So, because this illustrates like how we have to do all the three steps here. Because here are the steps. We got to be praying. We got to be thanking. And we got to be doing. Now, if you do these three steps, you'll have peace. And so, again, I'll go first and give you an example of this in my life. So, I remember years ago, and you don't know the person, don't try to figure out who the person is, but I was having some relationship struggles with a person. And it was causing me anxiety. It was causing me some worry, some stress, a lot of frustration. And so I was like, okay, I want God's peace because I'm not having it in this relationship. And so I started praying. And I said, God, this person, I just started processing my frustrations and worries. God, this person has been stressing me out. God, they've been unreasonable. They've been stubborn with me in this area, and it's so irritating. And it's just creating more work in my life and more frustration. And man, Lord, I want to pray. And so I was telling God my needs. And so you know what I prayed? I was like, oh, God, change them. You ever pray that one? Jesus, please change them. And I was praying that because you got to tell God what you need and what you desire. And I kept praying, and after several minutes, I did not feel any more peace. And I'm like, oh, man, I got no peace. I'm still, like, stressing. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I got to be thanking God. Whoops, I forgot about that. And so I was like, okay, oh, okay, God, yeah, I need to be thank you. So I was like, God, okay, so I just started thinking about the person. What can I thank God for? Like, how has this person been a blessing? Because yes, they've been frustrating, but this person's also been a blessing in my life. And I just started thanking God for various things about this person. And you know what happened? I started thanking God. I start feeling some peace in my heart. Some of the stress is starting to, and worry start to subside some. And I was like, all right, that's good. But I still wasn't feeling total peace. And I'm like, God, how come I'm not at peace right now? I've been praying, I've been thanking. And then I remembered the next part of the passage. I was like, oh, doing. And I was like, oh, God, is there something in this relationship you want me to be doing? And I honestly thought, like, I'd done everything, and, you know, I didn't have any hoo-hoo towards them, no unforgiveness, I'm all good. I said, God, is there anything you want me to be doing? And two words popped in my head, forgive them. And I was surprised. I was like, what? I got some unforgiveness towards them? And God goes, yeah. That's why you think about it so much. You haven't fully forgiven them, Dave. I was like, oh, wow. So then I started thinking, okay, what have I not forgiven? And I started thinking about all the ways they wronged me. Oh, a long list. And I was like, okay, God, I choose to forgive them when they did this. I choose to forgive them when they did that. I choose to forgive them when they did this and that. And I just went through it. And God, I'm just leaving it with you. I want to be free from unforgiveness. I don't want bitterness. I don't want all the mess that comes with unforgiveness. I just choose to forgive them as you have forgiven me thousands and thousands of times. And after I did that, I felt more peace. But I still wasn't fully at peace. And I'm like, my gosh, what else is there? I said, Lord, is there anything else you want me to be doing? And he says, yes. I want you to go ask them to forgive you. What? No way. I don't need to ask them to forgive me. I've done nothing wrong. And he said, the last time you were with them, you got really defensive. Like, you crossed the line. I was like, okay, maybe. He said, I want you to go ask them to forgive you. I'm like, well, they need to come to me first. They started it. Right? You ever feel that way? Make them, God. Then I'll say I'm sorry. He's like, you go first. I was like, ugh. I knew if I wanted full peace in this area of my life, I needed to do what he was saying to do. I didn't want to do it. But after a while, I was like, you know, I said, okay. So I set up a time to meet with this person. And by that time, I was like, yeah, I really did, like, get too defensive with them. Like, I just did. And so I went to them and genuinely, like, you never want to tell people you're sorry if you don't mean it. Because they'll smell that fakeness a mile away. And you don't want to do this. Hey, will you forgive me because God's telling me to tell you that? You know, don't do that, right? I just went to them and humbly, and I just said, you know, I just want to tell you the last time we met, you know, I got defensive. And I'm really sorry about that. I got too defensive, and I'm really sorry about that. And if that hurt you or affected you, I'm genuinely sorry. Will you please forgive me? And they looked at me and they said, yeah, I do. And then this happened. It doesn't normally happen. You know, a lot of people won't also ask for forgiveness from you. But this person said, hey, you know, I got defensive too. Will you forgive me? And I said, no. I was kidding. I said, it's about time you said that. No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, I will. I totally will. Now watch this. Once I finished doing what God said to do, oh, the peace that fell in that room was, like, amazing. All of my stress completely gone. And I tell you that story because it took praying, talking to God. It took thanking. But here's the next step. It took doing. And so let me ask you, what area have you been worrying in? Is it your finances? So talk to God about that financial stress. Just process all of it with this wonderful counselor. And then thank God for how he has provided for you and whatever else you want to thank him for. And then say, God, is there anything you want me to do financially to experience more of your peace? And he may say, yeah, you need to be saving more. You need to be sticking to a budget or whatever it is. Do what he says and the God of peace will come. If you're having relationship challenges with somebody, I'd encourage you to do what God led me to do. Pray, thank, and say, God, is there anything I need to be doing in this relationship? Is there anything I'm doing wrong in it? And just be open to it. Because here's the thing, you want more God's peace? You want it, right? Do God's will. God's peace comes when we do God's will. But I'll tell you, it may be hard to do what he says to do, but it's so worth it to have financial peace, relational peace, peace with God, peace with others. It is worth it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to have our worship team come up right now, and they're going to sing a song, and it's a song called Calm the Storm. And I want you to hear some of the backstory of this dance, because I think it'll have even more meaning as you watch it. So we asked three dancers to come dance to this song that Jenny, one of our worship leaders, is going to sing. Again, the song is called Calm the Storm. And so these three dancers, Ashley, Lindsay, and Kathy, started rehearsing weeks ago for what you're about to see. What they didn't know is how much this song was going to be needed. What Kathy, one of the dancers, didn't know was that her husband was going to pass away 2 weeks ago. And so you're going to see three women on stage. You're going to see two identical twins, Ashley and Lindsay. And then you're going to see Kathy Izumi. And Kathy said, Dave, I want to dance to this song. And I said, tell me why. She said, because when I worship God through dance, it draws me closer to him. And when I'm drawing closer to God, I can hold on to his promises in the Bible more easily. And I can experience the peace that I so desperately need in this season. And so, New Hope, we are just so honored and touched that Kathy is going to be here. And I really believe God just wants to have this song sung over you. Because here's the thing, Kathy's going through a storm. And some of you are going through a storm right now. Could be relational, financial, job, health, whatever it is. Here's my prayer for you, is that as Jenny sings this song over you, that God may calm the storm some more inside of you. So watch this.
Is around.
if you would, please keep Kathy and her family in prayer as they've entered into a season of grieving. And at all of our locations, if you would, if you bow your heads with me, let's just go before God right now, our great Prince of Peace. Father, thank you for your desire to help us in the midst of the stresses and anxieties of life. And Lord, sometimes we're very aware of that stress, and sometimes we're not aware. It's right below the surface of our hearts. As everybody's heads are bowed, some of you here, you've been exhausted from the problems you've been going through. For some of you, you've been mentally trying to figure out, like, why did this happen? And you're just going over it in your mind again and again, asking why. And others of you have just tired and fatigued from the weariness of the stress and the challenges. You need to know that Jesus is going to give you his peace. He loves you. You're not alone. He's going to keep walking you through it and giving you the strength you need. Jesus, I pray for all of us here. I pray, God, that you would just infuse your peace into us. And Lord, we've learned that there are things we have to do in order to experience you as our God of peace. So God, I pray this week that you help us when we start to worry. May that be the red light on the dashboard. May we turn our worries into prayers. Thank you, Jesus. You're a profound listener. You're a wonderful counselor. And we can just pour out our frustrations, our hurts, our anger, whatever it may be, to you. And we can tell you what we need. And God, help us not only to turn our worries into prayers, but help us to be thanking you in the problems so that we can shift our focus from the worries onto the many great things you're doing in our lives and the great things you're going to do in these challenges. Thank you. You promise us peace in the challenges. And Lord, you've reminded us that we need to be putting into practice what you've taught us. We need to be doing what you tell us to do. And so I just pray for all of my family here, my brothers and sisters, that especially for those of us, God, when you ask us to do some things we don't want to do, God, I just pray for the courage and strength to do that. As your heads are bowed, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, that is the most important step to take to experience God's peace. And if you'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus or you want to renew your relationship with him, just pray this prayer with me, and we'll pray it with you as a church family. So at all of our locations, if you want to begin or renew your relationship, pray this. And church family, let's pray it with them. Just say these words. Just say, Jesus Christ, I turn from my sins. I turn to you. Please forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, your spirit of peace and joy and patience. Be my Lord and Savior, my life leader, my friend, and my Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's congratulate the many who just prayed that prayer. Good job, you guys.